So as we kick off the Lenten season here with the first Sunday of Lent, do you remember Ash Wednesday? Yes. Do you remember the words that was said to you when you received the ashes? Must have said something, right? So it was repent and believe in the good news. Repent and believe in the gospel, which is the exact same word that Jesus says in the gospel today. Now, that's what we're called to do during the season of Lent. Repent and believe in the gospel. But how do we do that? How do we really actually repent and actually believe in the gospel? We have the three-pronged approach during Lent. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Right? So, I'm sure most of you, this is not your first time in the rodeo with the Lenten season. But have you been successful during Lent? What's your track record for Lent? No, I've been through many Lent, and we try to do the prayer, we try to do the fasting, we try to do the almsgiving. So people say, well, I'm going to give up something. I'm going to give up TV or give up chocolate or something like that, right? How's that going for you, right? Or you say, well, it's not a negative thing. Let's make it a positive thing. So I'm going to do more of something. So I'm going to say, well, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to try to, give more donations or try to be a nicer person, a kinder person. How's that working for you? Right? Or is that what actually Jesus asks us to do during Lent? Is that repent and believe in the gospel? Right? Is that what Jesus does in the gospel today? Does Jesus give up chocolate for Lent? Does Jesus try to be a nicer person during Lent? Those are all wonderful things. Don't get me wrong. And I think we should do those things. But go a little bit deeper. Yeah? In the gospel today, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the desert and tempted. And in the second reading today, it also asks us to go a little bit deeper, saying, it is not a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I wonder, during the season of Lent, are we kind of focused on the exterior or the interior? Are we treating symptoms, or are we truly digging down deep into what's going on in our lives and truly trying to repent and believe in the gospel? I want to talk about an example here where some of you are gardeners and you have nice backyards and you guys growing all kinds of stuff. If you have a nice apple tree, right? You got the tree and you got the apple. And let's say the apple represents sin and the tree represents the root causes. What happens if you just pick the apple from the tree? What happens if you just pick the apple from the tree? Does it grow back? Oh, yeah. You're right. And let's say you're like really determined. You're going to pick every single apple from the tree. What happens then? What happens the next season? Right? It just grows back. Or dare I say, more. You get more apples from picking all these apples. Right? And I think for many of us, Lent is like picking apples. Right? We just kind of focus on the exterior. What about the interior? We just focus on the sins and what is contrary to the sin. So we got the seven deadly sins, right? We got the pride, the greed, the lust, wrath, gluttony, envy, sloth. And we say, well, I'm just going to focus on one of these sins and try to do better for Lent. So that's like picking apples, right? So pick any of these. Gluttony. So, if you have issue of gluttony, say, oh, I'm gonna eat less during Lent. How does that work? Does it actually work? Right? What I want to ask us to do is dig a little bit deeper, right? The sin is not the actual problem. It's the root causes behind these sins. So behind every seven deadly sin, well, we have what we call the seven deadly wounds, the root causes. If you really want to get rid of the apples, just picking the apple doesn't really solve the problem. You got to go dig down into, you got to get a shovel, right? You know, get a shovel and actually just get to the roots and just get everything out. That's the only way, right? And behind every seven deadly sins, like I said, we have seven deadly wounds. Things that have happened in our lives, whether it was yesterday or 50 years ago, things that have kind of caused hurt in our lives, and things that, you know, affect us, and also fed lies about us, that we are not truly who we are. So the seven deadly wounds I want to share with you, they're abandonment. When have you felt abandoned? Where you're just like, I'm all alone, nobody cares, nobody understands me. Or fear, where you're so afraid. You try to love, and then you were hurt. So now you're afraid to love again. The wound of powerlessness, where I can't change anything, I'm too weak. Or hopelessness, things will never get better. Or the wound of confusion, saying, I don't really understand what's going on, I will never understand what's going on. Or the wound of rejection, saying, I am not loved, I am not wanted, I am not desired. And the wound of shame, saying, I am bad, I'm tainted, I'm stupid, I'm unworthy, unlovable, right? These are the wounds that you and I have to deal with, the deep root causes that affect and causes us to sin. And like I said, these are lies that have been told to us, or lies that we believe about ourselves, that we need to be transformed. So I want to share with you one of the wounds that I didn't know that I had until very recently when I went on this retreat in January here. out of the seven deadly sins, for those who know me, which one do I struggle with the most, you think? Which one do I struggle with the most? The other masses, everybody got it right, so maybe I don't do this mass as often, okay? But the one that I struggle with most is pride. Okay? And what is the virtue that is attached to the sin of pride? Humility. So every Lent, I'd say, well, I'm such a prideful person. Let's try to be humble. Jesus, help me to be humble. How come it doesn't work? How come it doesn't work? Because I'm too prideful? Right? Because I haven't really, you know, dug down to the deep root causes. What are the wounds that's causing me to be a prideful person? Why am I so proud of myself? Why do I think of myself as highly than others? Right? Like I said, it wasn't until I went on this retreat and I discovered my interior wounds. And the wound that I discovered was the wound of rejection. The wound of rejection was causing me to be a prideful person. Let me tell you a little more. So growing up as a kid, okay, you know, my parents, I love my parents, I love my mom, I love my dad. But my dad, he's like this very stereotypical, like, Asian dad. You know, I don't know how else to describe it, right? Which is, you know, he worked very hard to provide for the family, make sure that I was taken care of. But he never really, like, I don't know, like, showed affection for me. You know what I mean? He never, like, hugged me. Right? So he'd come home from work and I'd be like, hey, dad, like, give me a hug. He's like, no. You know? He's like, here's a soccer ball. You want to play soccer? No. Daddy busy. Right? So that's kind of how it was, right? And then that kind of complicated with when my parents divorced when I was in sixth grade. You know, that made things worse. Right? And I was pretty much left without a father figure. And what I felt now is rejected. Right? And because of that rejection, ever since then, I've been trying to prove that I am worthy of being loved. Right? But all in the wrong ways. Trying to prove that I'm worthy by hiding in my accomplishments. Only if I get 4.5 GPA... everything will be fine, that I'll be loved, that people will accept me, or my dad will accept me, or that only if I win all these golf tournaments, that I'll be loved, that I'll be accepted, right? But what happens is, the more I try to accomplish, the more I'm prideful of myself, the more empty I become, right? just like picking apples. And then every Lent, I'm thinking, I'm prideful. Jesus, help me to be humble. How come it doesn't work? Because I'm not digging down into the deep roots. Even as a priest, you know, like, why do I work so hard? I know plenty of priests who are so lazy. Why do I work so hard? Why am I here? Why am I at the high school? Why am I doing these things? Why am I studying for a PhD? Who cares? Seriously, right? Well, who cares? Why am I working so hard? Well, let me tell you, it's the wound of rejection. Only if I get 5 PhDs that people will love me, that I'll be accepted. Right? But like I said, it's an empty cycle. Right? And ultimately, you know, I'm going to be talking about these 7 deadly wounds throughout the season of Lent in more detail. But ultimately, long story short, all of us have issues, correct? All of us have wounds, sufferings in our lives, whether it's today, yesterday, or 50 years ago. But if we don't deal with these stuff, ultimately, suffering that is not transformed is suffering that is ultimately transmitted, right? You look at the journey of Jesus, right? Jesus suffered a lot. He went through a lot. He went through every single one of these wounds. And yet, he suffered, died, but rose from the dead. That suffering was transformed. And if we don't attach ourselves to the journey of Jesus, and if our suffering is not transformed, ultimately, that suffering is just transmitted. So, going back to my example here, right? It's pretty much the classic example of, oh, growing up, you know, I didn't like these things about my parents, so when I grow up, I'm not going to do those things. So if you say, well, if my dad was an alcoholic, when I grow up, I will never drink, and I will be there for my kids. Well, data shows you're most likely going to be like your dad, right? Because suffering that is not transformed is suffering that is transmitted. And even for me, so when I said, okay, my daddy don't want to play ball with me. My daddy don't want to hug me. In fact, I don't remember the last time my dad hugged me. So therefore, when I grow up, when I have my own kids, I'm going to hug the heck out of my kids. I want to be like a teddy bear. And I'm going to be there for them. Right? Well, as a priest, I don't have kids. Okay? No kids. But technically, you my kids. Not in a condescending way, right? But in that relationship, that spiritual relationship, you my kids. Well, let's see. Suffering that is not transformed is suffering that is transmitted. So basically, I know that growing up, even though my dad didn't show affection, I know if I was like bleeding, like he'd be the first one to take care of me, right? I know that even if I call him, hey, dad, can you help me with this? He'd be there like in an instant, right? But if I say, hey, you want to just hang out? Can you just give me a hug? No, right? And I'm pretty much the same way, right? Name one time when you were sick and I was not there for you, right? Name one time you made an appointment with me and I was late or I didn't show up, right? Whenever you need something, as a priest, I'm there for you 24/7, right? But if you say, you know, Father Steve, I know you're busy, but let's just hang out. Let's just kick it and just have a beer. You know what's my response? No. No. And that's pretty much like my dad, isn't it? Isn't that right? Right? If you say like, well, you know, we'd like to have you over because we want to give more money to the capital campaign, then I'll be there. Right? Now you give me a reason to be with you. But I'm not just going to hang out with you just to give you hugs and loves and kisses. You get my point? Right? Suffering that's not transformed is suffering ultimately that is transmitted. And I really ask each and every one of you, okay, giving up chocolate, wonderful. Keep doing it. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You want to fast from TV, social media, do it. You know, fish Fridays, lobster Fridays, be my guest. Do it. That's wonderful tradition of the Roman Catholic Church, these exteriors, right? But can we do a little more? Can we do more than just picking apples from the tree? Right? And let's go dig a little bit deeper than the sin, right? It's not the 7 deadly wounds, 7 deadly sins we have to deal with. It's the 7 deadly wounds that we have to deal with, right? And I ask each and every one of you, we started this Lenten journey with Ash Wednesday. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. Listen to the readings. Pay attention. Journey with Jesus in his ministry, in his betrayal, in his suffering, his death, his resurrection. Pay attention to the points of wounds when Jesus has felt abandoned, fear, powerlessness, hopelessness, when he was confused, when he was rejected, when he felt shame. And ultimately, attach ourselves to Jesus and his suffering. And ask for healing. Ask for transformation from these wounds. That is what I call a good journey, good Lenten journey, right? And I pray that each and every one of you, every one of us can really, you know, it's difficult, but let's go dig deeper into the root causes, into these spiritual wounds, the seven deadly wounds, and really ask for healing, mercy, forgiveness, and ultimately transformation.